Good day. I am Stephen Combs, privileged to be the pastor of Boskydale Baptist Church. I represent all the congregation in saying we all are glad you, as a member or friend, that you have tuned in to our Boskydale website at the time you have chosen to be a part of the Father's Day worship service of our church. Even though this is just an audible presentation, we attempt to make it as much as possible to be like a Sunday morning we have traditionally gathered for worship in the church building. Because of that intention, we have a time of greeting everyone, members and friends, and pertinent announcements, then a prayer to formally begin our fervent and earnest worship with some music worship, a joint time of personal prayer, and a scripture-based sermon message. We close our time of worship with what is called a benediction, which is an open pledge to God of our response to this time of worship. And at Boskydale, all of the congregation says the benediction together, taken from the Psalms, Psalm 139 and 19. As you will hear referenced in today's sermon message, a customary part of every worship service when we are gathered in the church is the taking of an offering with a proper emphasis on biblical tithing. We're not able to pass offering plates right now. We're not beside each other. So we encourage all of our membership to send their regular offerings by mail to the church address. And obviously, checks are the best choice for mailing. So now we have expressed our glad welcome to all, and here are the announcements. We have not yet determined the specific date we will return to group Sunday worship in the church building. A possibility is that it may be as early as next Sunday, June 28th. However, our deacons and church leaders hope to have a decision early this week. So, if it is to so be, all members will be contacted. We ask everyone's prayers to include prayer for leadership in this matter. We are anxious to return on Sundays to the church, but since we do have this excellent alternative working for us right now, our primary concern is to consider everyone's safety. Another announcement, a repeat. Questions are being asked about a dating for the yard sale. No specific dates are set yet, but we may be able to do so around the first weeks of October. One more. Standard dates for events have all been interrupted by the cautions observed for the coronavirus. When new dates are possible for any church-related events and observances, the church will announce those as soon as possible. Well, let us now fully enter the time of somber worship, somber yet joyfully seeking and praising our Creator and Sustainer, God. We pray now for the putting aside of all other concerns and turning to invoke His presence in our hearts and minds right now. We pray. Dear Lord and Father of all mankind, open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts to know of your glorious presence right here, right now. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. My dear friends, we are privileged on this Sunday to thank God in special ways for the men who are our fathers. Some are honored today in our fond memories. Some are honored because they are still with us. Some fathers we honor not because they are our father, but because they have been such good examples of fatherhood. One group we are sadly missing in the scope of our Boskydale Church would be older children and getting close to young adulthood, boys who will one day be fathers. I know all of us of Boskydale Church miss having children and youth in our church right now, just for these days, and we look forward to when the young grow up among us in days and years to come. To me, one of the most important aspects of the art of being a good father is the setting by example to growing youth of a good, righteous man who they can see is a godly father. And right here, I want to make a strong clarification. The message I'll be bringing, because of the focus of this Sunday on fathers, is all in terms of he and him and his, all male terminology. However, what I'm pointing out is that fathers, males, are to think about, well, that applies completely to mothers, females also. So this is definitely a Father's Day message, but I'm hoping that you ladies who are listening are saying, yes, that's for me too. So there you are, men, but there you are too, you wonderful women of God. In most all churches, and very much so at Boskydale, the music, the theology of our hymns is foundational to our worship. Our two hymns for now have strong focus on fathers, the first one on earthly fathers, and the second one on the utmost supreme Father of all, our Heavenly Father. We begin with the traditional faith of our fathers, and we are so grateful to God for our own fathers. And additionally, we are reminded that in Christianity, great religious men known as fathers of the faith, through the centuries they have passed down a wonderful legacy. And the words for this first hymn are, faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Sing with this if you can. A second hymn is A Child of the King, and identifies in the first few words that we are to consider the King of Heaven to be known as our Father. The first words are, My Father is rich. And then the chorus identifies who my Father is. He is the King. As this plays, sing along with these words. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Now, usually between those hymns, we have a time of personal prayer requests and also prayer for other concerns. I lead this prayer, but ask that you all are hearing and joining in with me as a prayer for us all. Let's go to God with this prayer. O God, our gracious, loving Father, We come first of all to honor and glorify you as the one and only, as our only God. Your majesty is wonderfully overwhelming, and your love for us is far beyond any question. We are so undeserving as we truthfully observe your sovereignty of all of the vast universe, yet we are so aware that you loved us beyond measure by sending your Son to live as we live, growing up from childhood as we have grown up from childhood, and facing all the trials and temptations we face. But he never faltered, never failed, and is the supreme model for all of us who seek Christ-likeness. The salvation he has given to us, who believe in and love and follow, all of that in him. Thank you, Lord, for enabling us and sustaining us in the midst of this ungodly and threatening world. You are our sanctuary. You are our shield. May we learn more and more to lean upon you and your faithful provision. We say it often, but not often enough. Thank you for all that it means when we say thank you for our daily bread. Father, your only Son created and empowered the church and sent your Holy Spirit to dwell in its people and to comfort, guide, empower, and sustain us. We, Father, are your church, a real body of Christ fellowship of believers. Today, even as we recognize you, our Father, as the true personification of all that is virtuous and excellent about fatherhood, we look to our human fathers to find reflections of you in them. May we truly bless them by loving them and honoring them, even as you gave that commandment to your servant Moses to pass on to us over many centuries of knowing you as Jehovah God. The commandment, honor your father and mother. Father, we pray for many of our congregation with needs. You know them all. We are thinking of them now. We pray for the rich blessing on all fathers on this special day, the fathers of our church and all other fathers. We pray for all churches that are worshiping and acknowledging Christ as the head of their church. We pray for the needs of our community and our city and our nation in this time of human, too many times inhuman, confrontation. We know that your Son taught us very explicitly that one answer to all conflict is godly love. We ask you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will be allowed into our hearts to bring forth Christ-like love in our lives as we move through all aspects of life, that we might exemplify the blessing of Christian living in all of life. Keep our hearts in an attitude of prayer, conversing intimately with you as we worship you right now and as we move beyond this time of worship into the lives of those around us day by day. We offer up this prayer to you, O God, as Jesus taught us, in his own strong name and for his sake. Amen. Continue now with me as I open the Bible for our message today. I will be reading a portion of Scripture from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll read verses 24 through 27. If you have your Bible there with you, please turn to Matthew 16 and read along with me. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. The translation I'm reading from today is the Very New Christian Standard Bible. This is a basis for this sermon titled, Counting the Cost. And just so we'll all remember, it's Father's Day Sunday. Counting the Cost, June 21, 2020, Father's Day, and the scripture is Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Beginning at verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and our hearing of it. The chief reason that the Jewish nation failed as a nation and failed to continue as God's chosen people, which they were, was that it failed to be committed to the task God assigned to it. Then Jesus came to select a new covenant people, a spiritual Israel, and spiritual Israel that originated through the birth process, the second birth, a spiritual birth through repentance and faith. Jesus was careful, however, to warn his followers that they must stop and count the cost. Let's see how this sounds. If any man will be a follower of mine, let him get totally committed to the task by first of all denying himself of his own personal desires and whims and taking up his load of responsibility and kingdom service by following me faithfully. That's a paraphrase of Matthew 16:24, our first verse. Jesus never promised that the Christian life would be an easy road to walk. In fact, he promised hardship and persecution, but ending in reward. He desires of his followers to total commitment of life in order that the world might be one to him. What do you think? I've observed that many in the church, not specifically Boskydale, but the church in general, many by their actions appear to feel that Jesus is asking too much from them. Or maybe it's that they haven't ever understood Christ's very real desire and expectation, total commitment from his followers. Well, in case that has not been understood, the absolute truth is all Christians, Jesus believers, need to realize that they are commissioned by Christ to be builders in his kingdom. Here's another truth. In all walks of life, in all of human history, there is a common expectation that men lead out. Now, this does not mean in any way that women are not equal to men. It's just that even from biblical perspectives, men and women commonly have different roles. Now, I don't want to get too deeply into this because this is not the thrust of this message. It is simply to say that on Father's Day, today, I will be focusing on what is expected of Christians primarily from the male perspective. But underlying this, I also say the same expectations are for Christian women. So, if you will, hear this, fathers, as you leaders who will pay close attention now to counting the cost for you to know and for you to lead out in with the expectation of God of a full commitment of your life to building the kingdom of Christ here on earth in preparation for his second coming to establish the final and complete kingdom as promised in Revelation. For every true Christian man, the cost of total commitment to Jesus as Lord of your life means a deep personal faith in Christ. It means your service, serving the body of Christ, your church. It will truly cost you money. Don't get nervous, I'll explain. And the cost to you includes your spiritual energy. Those are the main costs, the significant ones. So at the beginning here, let me try to picture for you, men, the meaning of a deep personal faith in Christ and how and what this is going to cost you. We're living in a day in which many people pronounce themselves Christians simply because they have been privileged to be born into a Christian home and are in a Christian community. However, to really merit the name Christian, anyone who is now a father must first have met the requirements of Jesus for entry into his kingdom. The gospel writer John, the Apostle John, quotes Jesus in John 3:3 as saying, "Unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, that's a strange saying for mortal ears, born again. It was to the mortal ears of Nicodemus to whom Jesus said it. Yet Jesus had stated this as the mode of entry into his kingdom, using figurative but very explicit language to express a great spiritual truth. Jesus was saying that a person must come into a personal relationship with him through birth pangs, a whole new start in life, birth pangs of a deep spiritual experience. What's wrong with natural man, the way we live as being the one in control of our thoughts and actions and life? Well, here's what our righteous, perfect God sees as he looks at natural man. Unclean in thought and action, rebellious toward the divine will of God for his life, selfish to the very core of his being. When any man can get clear-headed enough in the light of reality to really look at his own life, unless he's in total denial, hopefully he will have great remorse for his unholy condition and want deep in his heart to turn away from that way of life. If so, he will then turn to the Creator of both mortal life and the way of immortal life, Jesus Christ. He will trust him implicitly for his soul salvation and surrender to Jesus as the Lord of his life. That's being born again, men. That's what Jesus meant, born again. It is through such birth pangs that a man will emerge to start new life growth into the kingdom of Christ. That costs you your old life. What do you think? Is it worth it? Here's what happens, what inevitably happens. When someone is born again, and the change, a radical change of control, it begins having Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit now guiding his life rather than self. And people see the difference. All of what you used to be is out the window, and you've lost all of that investment. There's a life you've been buying up, been investing in, and now you no longer have it. That's a cost, isn't it? But the beauty, the goodness of your new life, wasn't that cost worth it? Matthew 5:16 quotes Jesus saying, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." You see, each Christian is a translator of God's word to other people who see their life. One time, a group of biblical scholars were discussing the merits of the various translations of the New Testament, and the scholars almost all had differences and preferences, and each one spoke about why he chose one over the others. One of the men very obviously remained silent during this very lengthy discussion. Finally, the others noticed that he had voiced no opinion about the merits of any of the translations, so they turned to him and inquired which one was his preference. He replied, "Well, if you must know, I like my old grandfather's translation best. He translated God's word into life for 75 years, and it was the most effective translation I have ever known." it will cost your knowing that others are checking out how you live. Paul wrote this encouragement to the Philippian Christians, "For me to live is Christ." I say that's not cost, that's gain. Here's another cost I spoke about a few minutes ago. It will cost you, men, fathers, service to the body of Christ, your local church, to us, Boskydale. I think all of us Southern Illinoisans know a bit about corn. So you men know on Father's Day and all other days, a stalk of corn is a stalk of corn, even though it may be growing in a weed patch. Under that condition, however, it will not be much of a stalk of corn, and it certainly will not bear any harvest of grain. Conceivably, a Christian can be a Christian and not have regular fellowship with others in the Church of Christ, but he will not be much of a Christian, certainly not a fruit-bearing Christian. The truth is, every Christian who is truly born again will desire to be an active part of a body of believers, of your church. As that cost, that investment, you will want to use your talents in service to the church. I'm pretty sure you don't have any trouble seeing godly men, fathers in our church, who gladly invest in the cost of their personal service to our Boskydale Church. Some of what I see is men teaching, leading, using personal skills, and assisting other men who are leading. However, it's my observation that America is fast slipping backwards spiritually. We're told that a great percentage of college students, our leaders of tomorrow, make no pretense of having any sort of Christian faith. And this is not hard to see here in Carbondale. Of the several thousands of students normally on campus at SIU that you see all over town come Sunday morning, how many do you think churches see in their pews being committed followers of Christ? You see, men, we need to take a positive lead here. If we in our local churches do not shoulder the responsibility for teaching and training and being visible examples to the young people growing up in our churches while they are yet with us, they are bound to go out into life being advocates of materialistic atheism. One very visible cost to you, fathers, men, be faithful in attendance in church. Now, I'm talking about fathers who are thoroughly Christian. We are the ones who are going to desire to gather regularly for worship and fellowship. And all who observe your presence will be influenced. Again, I'll quote Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others." The strength of a positive male example is incalculable. Recently, I challenged myself by making a guesstimate as to how the average American spends his time. As based on a lifespan of 57 years, the results of a poll were as follows. 6 years spent in eating, 11 years in working, 8 years in amusement, 24 years in sleeping, 5 years dressing, 3 years talking, and only 6 months in church. Apparently, serving the church isn't costing many Americans very much, much to our shame. Well, the full commitment to your Lord Jesus will cost fathers money. An unspoken and avoided word among many Christians is the word stewardship, especially when that word has particular reference to the stewardship of monetary resources. Yet, it is one of the most imperative words in the Christian faith. It is one of the chief determining factors as to whether a Christian has really made Jesus the Lord of his life. Stewardship involves more than money, our time, and our talents, but certainly also our money. And for today, I'm going to narrow it down to only the financial phase of stewardship in these regards, the biblical principle of tithing. It is the call of God to every Christian to acknowledge Him with the tithe. Old Testament believers, while under the law, were taught by the teachers of the law that every believer in and follower of Jehovah God would present at the temple at least a tenth of his income. And how can a Christian who is under grace, not the law, but grace, the unmerited favor of Almighty God, shun the cost and do less than an Old Testament Jew? It is the duty of the everything in Christian to promote stewardship with his church. A church member once said to an obviously devout friend, a member of a sister church, "You know, our church is always asking for money for such causes as building funds and missions and so forth. And some of us members are getting the impression that our pastor and other church leaders are more interested in money than in the spiritual needs of our community." With a devout friend, a wise man of God replied, "If some of your church members think others are making too much ado over finances, it's probably because some members have failed to give God his share. That is, they have failed to tithe their income." Well, I can tell you this, after 50-plus years in ministry, I have never heard someone I knew to be a tither complain about comments from the pulpit about money or complain about a sermon on tithing. Yes, stewardship costs, but is it a cost or an investment in God's kingdom? And full and unreserved commitment to Christ will cost a godly father spiritual energy. One of the greatest weaknesses of most Christians is their unwillingness to witness to others about Christ. But that shows a major misunderstanding. Jesus has commissioned every Christian to be a witness for Him. Some might call this the greatest cost to every Christian in his role as a disciple, but it is the most rewarding of all of any father's, of any man's endeavors. It will cost him time and love and effort. In our busy lives, we feel that there are never enough energy hours left in our schedules to just go up the street or down the street or across town to witness to a lost soul. Yet, we are under the same great commission to witness as were the first century Christians. "Go into all the world," the Great Commission says. We must therefore set and take time to tell others about Christ. It will cost a father not only time, but also love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a great theological author, said, "It is hardly surprising that so few are granted to see things with the pitying eyes of Jesus. For only those who share the love of his heart have been given eyes to see, and only they can enter the harvest field." Love will be a cost. And full commitment to Jesus will cost any man a good share of his time, his love, and third, of his effort. It will cost him effort in self-inventory, in soul-searching prayer, and in spiritual concentration on and consecration to the task of witnessing to any soul for Christ. He must have God's power in his efforts, or they will be of no avail. Well, this day I'm going to be bold enough to ask, will you who are Christians ask yourselves, am I totally committed to the cause of Christ? Have I stopped to count the cost of discipleship? Am I sincerely trying to help to bring in Christ's kingdom? These are questions I believe every Christian, not just fathers, must put to his or her own heart. Well, let me say with all my heart, the cost of discipleship is small in comparison with the blessings you receive. And it is so much more valuable than a cost. Now, a tradition of Father's Day, just like we do on Mother's Day, is the giving of gifts to the fathers of our lives, to honor them and to show them our appreciation. God reverses that toward us, and he doesn't limit it to one day a year. It's every day. The great Father of us all showers us with gifts all the time. So say thank you to your Father today in person or by prayer. And thank you, thank you, thank you to your Heavenly Father. As our worship ends for this Father's Day service, I would say we have worshiped together much as we are accustomed to do when we gather in our church building on Sundays. And at those times, we end the service with a hymn and then a congregational benediction. We'll get back to the church building for worship soon and to that closing hymn. But join me now for the closing benediction, which we all say together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And all the people said, Amen.